I believe the direction which our leaders are taking us is threatening not only our well-being, but also the well-being of those next generations to come. I think you'll agree with me, the answer is not bigger government, it's smaller government.
Linda McMahon running for Senate in Connecticut, as the Connecticut primary is now history. The New York primary is next, and we're now learning in New York who will actually be on the ballot, because the deadline was Monday, to challenge people like Charlie Rangel and Kirsten Gillibrand. So we will talk Connecticut first today, then New York. To begin today's show, with me first, Daniela Altomare, reporter for the Hartford Current. Daniela,
hi.
Thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you.
And let's talk about Linda McMahon first and that Senate race in general. She won the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate against two other candidates, as expected. That's the seat that Christopher Dodd is leaving. She's the longtime CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment with no previous political experience, which is all that a lot of our listeners actually know about her, especially listeners who are not in Connecticut. Why did she win?
Well, the short answer, money. She spent a lot of money. She spent over $21 million just from September through yesterday, or I guess through the last filing period. So she spent a ton of money and was pretty much unavoidable over the past few months, whether you open your mail, whether you were, you know, watching TV. I mean, her ads were just everywhere. And, you know, some people said that made the difference. That said, she, you know, she did do a lot of campaigning going across the state. She apparently is a pretty good campaigner. She connected with people, and so I'm sure that played a role as well. But, you know, obviously you can only reach so many people in person, and the ads were everywhere. So.
And what kind of an impression did she make? Obviously, some candidates with deep pockets lose. So did she make a certain kind of impression?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like everybody else running for office this year, she's focusing on the economy. She has a big advantage, I think, this year, especially because she's an outsider. She's never been active in politics before. In fact, it was a little dust up early in the campaign. It turned out she didn't even vote in some recent elections. So she really is an outsider. And she has business experience, which I think appeals to some voters. The money is a powerful thing when you're looking to shape your image among voters.
I want to take a phone call because Kathy is calling from Stamford with a skeptical, maybe even cynical take on how well McMahon actually did yesterday. Hi, Kathy, you're on WNYC.
Oh, Brian, I'm never cynical or skeptical, but I would point out that she won 49% of the vote, which means that 51% of Republicans voted for somebody who was not her.
Yep.
And the two people who were running against her, one of them no one had ever heard of, and the other one didn't. Rob Simmons didn't run a campaign. So she spent close to $25 million, half of her campaign chest, and couldn't even get a majority against two non-candidates.
She got 40.
So I can't wait to see her take on Blumenthal, because she's going to do it as a one issue. She's going to say, Vietnam, 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 and that's going to work for about 2.5 weeks, and then she has nothing left to say.
Kathy, thank you very much. And on those results, she got 49% of the vote.
Yep.
The other two split kind of evenly the rest of the vote. So she did win by a wide margin over the second place candidate, even though she did not quite get to 50% of the vote. And I don't think it's fair to say that Peter Schiff was unknown. I mean, he's a cable TV pundit. He was the third place finisher. But what, I don't know, anything else to reply to Kathy with?
Well, I mean, she does raise a good point. Obviously, that is a lot of money, and some people are saying, you know, maybe she should have won by more. But don't forget, this was a woman who I think 65% or somewhere around there of the electorate didn't know who she was on November 15th or whenever that early Q poll came out. So, you know, here it is, however many months later, she manages to get 49% of the Republican vote. I guess you can look at it both ways.
And on Kathy's prediction that she's going to run against Blumenthal, the state attorney general, by saying Vietnam, 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 for people who don't remember, Blumenthal, who, and for people who are not from Connecticut, Blumenthal, long-term attorney general in the state, very, very popular, long positive record with veterans groups, but he was caught this year lying several times about whether he actually served in Vietnam as opposed to served during the Vietnam era, but not over there. So how big a thing has that become in Connecticut, and how much has it kind of dissipated as people, you know, remembered who Richard Blumenthal has been to them otherwise?
It's hard to say. I mean, he's got ads. He had a series of ads running early on in the summer, you know, sort of after this all broke, reminding people of what he's all about. But, you know, one of the issues with Blumenthal, he hasn't really sort of gotten his sea legs yet. And I don't know if this Vietnam thing was kind of knocked him off his game, but she clearly has been chipping away at him. Now he's, you know, he's still in the lead. And this is obviously a state where Democrats outnumber Republicans. So he has some built-in advantages. But, you know, she's going after the unaffiliated vote, and she's doing it very aggressively, and obviously has a lot of money to get that message across of Vietnam, Vietnam, Vietnam. You know, Blumenthal is going to have a lot of resources at his disposal as well. And, you know, I guess we'll wait and see once he really gets up and going what, you know, what he comes out with.
How expensive, how negative do you expect this campaign to be from his side?
You know, he's not self-funding. He is actually a very wealthy man. He has quite a bit of family money, but he is not a self-funder. He's out there raising money. I imagine that he'll have some resources from the National Party, but, you know, they're looking at sort of the entire nation, and if they have to throw money at Connecticut, you know, which was, the seat was held by Democrat Chris Dodd for 30 years, if they have to throw money at Connecticut, they're not putting it elsewhere. So I think, you know, there's that. I think it's going to get extremely expensive, and, you know, Blumenthal has top-notch folks working for him, and I'm sure they're going to leave no stone unturned, no YouTube video unseen, no clip of Linda McMahon doing crazy things in the wrestling ring unwatched by the voters of Connecticut.
So do you think in an era where people are concerned about their lives and their livelihoods and the economy and their futures and their children's education that this race is going to become a cartoon about Vietnam on the one side and WrestleMania on the other?
It certainly has that potential, and that, you know, I don't know what the voters' tolerance for any of that stuff is. They may just want to say, great, tell me about the economy, or tell me about jobs, or what have you done for me, or what's your record? I don't know. Or it may descend into the sort of, you know, cartoon aspect that you pointed out.
Here's another non-fan of Linda McMahon from Stanford. Jody, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jody.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
It's not just that I'm a non-fan of Linda McMahon, but as what you were, guys were just talking about, the amount of money being spent for what's going to be just a joke of a campaign with the wrestling on one side and the Vietnam on the other. I don't know if you read in today's Times, or maybe you already talked about it, was already there discussing, the campaigns are discussing the amount of mudslinging that they're going to do with bringing up Vietnam and showing the clips of Linda McMahon in the ring, punching her husband or whatever. And it's like, we're in two wars. Our economy is in the tank. We have a huge deficit. And all you candidates care about is slinging mud at each other. It's like, it's just so offensive to the people of Connecticut. Do something about it. Do something about the economy, or do something about creating jobs, or do something about getting us out of these wars, instead of spending all of this huge amount of money getting your name out there to show these cartoonish ads.
And Jody, watch this space, because in the coming days we're going to launch a project where we're going to collect questions from listeners in what's called the 10 Questions Project. We're joining this national effort to get citizens from around the country to submit their most burning 10 questions, and then some of us in the media, including us, will try to make sure that those questions actually get asked of the House and Senate candidates. So,
I'd love to ask a question right now of every candidate out there, and that is, will you please run a campaign without disparaging your opponent and just talk about how good you are and not about how bad the other person is? Because nobody cares what you think about the other person.
Jody, thank you very much. All right, we're going to do a follow-up segment on that one, too. Can you run a campaign promoting yourself in a comparative race, after all, you're running against somebody, without saying disparaging things about them? But Danielle, you're laughing.
Yeah, because you know what happens. The candidates never say disparaging things about anybody. It's always their surrogates that go out and do it. And, you know, in these high-stakes campaigns, it's very shadowy. It's not, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, somebody coming out and saying, you know, you're a cartoon character because you kicked a guy in the groin in a wrestling clip, or you skipped out on Vietnam and tried to claim credit for it. It's always, you know, much more subtle than that. So,
Daniela Altomare, reporter for the Hartford Courant, my guest on WNYC as we break down the results from yesterday's Connecticut primary. You mentioned McMahon resonating with unaffiliated voters, and Connecticut is, after all, a state whose last U.S. Senate election wound up with Joe Lieberman going back to the Senate as an independent and beating both a Democrat and a Republican, so voters were willing to do that. Do you think that there is a big unaffiliated vote in what people from elsewhere in the country might too easily consider a blue state, a Democratic state?
Yeah, I mean, clearly that's the sort of huge swath of voters that she's got to try and reach, because she can't win if she just gets Republican votes. So she needs unaffiliated voters to make this happen.
How will she run toward the center, or is that not the way she thinks she'll get unaffiliated voters?
Well, I mean, you know, this is Connecticut, so you know the center is a pretty big place. I mean, she's not any kind of an ideologue when it comes to social issues or anything like that. She is in favor of abortion rights and with some qualifications, but you know, this is Connecticut, so nobody's going to run on a anti-gay marriage platform and expect to win in a big way.
So is she going to run as Olympia Snow, if you know what I mean?
As an independent-minded person, there's a hint of that. She's running as a can-do business executive. That's her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's saying she brought jobs to the state. She can fix the economy. She can fix things in Washington. Washington's messed up, and she, you know, is sort of the no-nonsense person that can bring some common sense. That's sort of her platform in a nutshell. And Blumenthal, contrasting with that, is long-term public servant, interests of the residents at heart, a long-term advocate for consumers. That's sort of his pitch. So I guess it'll be up to the voters to decide which message they like this year.
Let's take another caller. Mike, you have a Lieberman question?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Would it matter who Joe Lieberman endorses in this specific race? Because he is a, quote, independent.
Yeah.
And he's not necessarily a reliable Democrat. Is his endorsement valuable here?
That's a great question, as an independent.
Yeah, I think it is up for grabs. I think he's made hints at all. He said all kinds of things. I don't think, first of all, I don't even know how much weight any endorsement carries, but I certainly don't think if Joe Lieberman were to come out for Linda McMahon or Dick Blumenthal that it would, sway the race either way. I don't think it would matter that much.
You don't think they're going to be working hard for his endorsement?
They may be working hard, but I just don't know, in terms of, the average voter in the state, how much impact that would have.
Do you think he might try to sell his endorsement for a certain, I don't mean sell, in a corrupt sense, but for a certain policy position that he might want one or the other to take?
Predicting what Joe Lieberman will or won't do is a losing game, and I just can't even, I got to throw up my hands and say I have no idea.
All right. Before we run out of time, let's talk briefly about the governor's race. Tell us about those primary results from last night. Here's a clip of the winner, the upset winner, really, on the Democratic side, Dan Malloy, the former mayor of Stamford.
For too long, Connecticut's leadership has failed to inform the public, to bring them in and make them partners. That's going to change. It is the hallmark of the new Malloy administration coming November 2nd.
And he beat the famous Ned Lamont, who was the Democrat who ran to Lieberman's left and won that nomination in 2006.
Yeah, the governor's results on the Democratic side were pretty stunning. I think the Q poll, had Dan Malloy closing the gap, but still Lamont ahead. Even the most recent poll as of Monday, he won big. So I guess the real loser might be pollsters and pundits who were predicting things.
I'm shocked to hear that pollsters and pundits might ever get anything wrong. Why do you think? Why do you think Malloy beat Lamont? Any top line quick response?
You know, some people are speculating. I mean, you know, Lamont was a self-funder, and as I think you pointed out in the opening, you know, self-funders don't always win. In fact, oftentimes they lose. You know, he spent a lot of his own money. He's wealthy. I don't know. Maybe there was some backlash against that. Mm. I think Malloy ran probably a better campaign. He got the establishment, the Democratic establishment, behind him early. He really made a smart move, it seems, picking his running mate, Nancy Wyman. She's very popular politician in the state, very appealing to a lot of people.
And I'll tell you, when we did a primary day call-in yesterday for Connecticut voters, it was a lot easier for us to find Malloy voters calling in than Lamont voters, and most of them were saying that he's just got more of the practical experience running a city. He apparently has a pretty good reputation in Stamford. You tell me, because I don't really know. But that, you know, people were looking for that practicality, although Ned Lamont is a businessman, so he would not be any stranger to economic decisions either.
Yeah, and he ran on his business record, and he ran as sort of a guy, as a much more moderate politician than he had back when he ran against Lieberman. So,
and did that hurt him, running as a more moderate politician, because then he was seen as somebody who was a chameleon?
Well, it may have hurt him among Democrats. We're talking about the Democratic primary. I mean, maybe in the, you know, I guess we'll never know, but maybe in the general election it would have helped him and he would have won. But in the Democratic primary, you know, people might not want to hear that message. You know, these are the diehards that come out on a sweltering day in August.
And the Republican nominee for governor is?
The Republican nominee is Tom Foley, and, you know, he was the front runner all along, but again, that gap had been closing. I think he was 35 points ahead just a few weeks ago, and Mike Fedeli had been driving hard and, you know, running a very aggressive ad campaign, but wasn't able to ultimately pull it off.
Is there a Democratic and Republican way to campaign for governor in Connecticut in 2010? I mean, we just saw the Republican governors around the country support the Democratic Congress in passing that extra education aid to the states to avoid teacher layoffs, even though the Republicans in Congress were against it. On the other hand, we see Chris Christie coming into New Jersey, which has a worse deficit problem than Connecticut does, but every state has a problem, coming in and slashing and burning. So is this going to be a partisan ideological fight over how to run a state?
I don't know, because again, Connecticut's fairly moderate. There's not a lot of that kind of thing here. I think both candidates will tout their experience. One has business experience, and one has experience, as you pointed out, running a city. So I think that'll become the issue. I'm sure it's going to be nasty and intense. And you know, Foley is a wealthy man, and you know, will use his own money, I think, to run this race. And Dan Malloy was a publicly financed candidate, so both of them will have resources at their disposal. And I'm sure there'll be many ads and mailers and all kinds of things critical of the other guy.
All right. Game on. Daniela Altamari, reporter for the Hartford Current, on yesterday's primary results. Thank you so much. New York next. WNYC political reporters Bob Henley and Ozzy Pabura coming in just a minute to preview the next primary up in our area. And it's becoming official just this week who's going to be on the ballot in some of these races. For example, who's actually going to be running for the Republican nomination against Gillibrand? Who's actually going to be running in the primary against Charlie Rangel? So we'll break that down in a minute.